Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball, and before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back, and for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47, have a car wash for €2.47, or grab a packet of Tato crisps for just 24 cent. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Apple Green store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.
Football on Off The Ball.
The Messi fairy tale in 2022 was absolutely right. Everybody in the world wanted Messi to win the World Cup. Even the opposition players, everyone felt he deserved it. It was been a long time coming.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Word on the street on Off The Ball.
With Braeburn, whatever the weather, Braeburn Coffee has you covered.
Made for your summer.
Hello, hello, and welcome along to Word on the Street, the Classica.
There we go.
Yeah, way better.
I will preface this by saying I was in the throes of a fever.
Well, I think it's like the death of football, funeral bell.
This is probably the worst recency bias of all time.
I say Boxing Day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is there a problem? Absolutely. Is it shite? Absolutely. Will you watch it? Absolutely.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Word on the Street. And Word on the Street on Off The Ball is brought to you with Braeburn. From refreshing iced mochas to smooth iced oat lattes, whatever the weather, Braeburn Coffee has you covered, made for your summer. So we're delighted now, well, I'm delighted, I'm here on my own in studio, but I'm joined by Finn Kearns, who plays flag football for Ireland. Finn, how are you today?
Very good, thank you for having me.
No problem. Now, I was really excited to get into this episode because it's something that we like doing here, which is maybe putting a spotlight on sports that don't ordinarily get a spotlight. But I feel like for me, this is going to become a sport that more people have to pay attention to because it's going to be in the next Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of the sport's claim to fame and probably the reason why it's grown so much over the last like couple of years. It's been around for, you know, 10, 15 years, but I myself only joined it about 3 years ago. Very closely to the announcement of it becoming an Olympic sport. So yeah, for sure.
So I suppose for people who don't know what flag football is, I mean, it's quite heavily associated with American football. It's almost like a combination of American football and tag rugby. But if you were to explain to somebody maybe like me or like some of our listeners who don't watch it, how would you explain the sport?
Yeah, I think exactly what you said. Like, it is essentially to American football what tag rugby is to rugby. It's a very similar sport, just with the lack of contact. So you're not like tackling guys, instead you're just pulling flags. There's a few other nuances to the rules, like it's played in a smaller pitch, it's 5v5 versus 11-on-11, and so kind of the more you want to go down the rabbit hole, the more you can kind of see that the nuances of the sport are slightly different to make it play very differently. So
yeah,
but yeah, for the most part it's similar to rugby.
And you said that you got involved kind of only in the past few years. Is that because there wasn't an avenue in Ireland to play it yet?
No. So I just came from the American football side of things. So I would have had pads, played contact, like for a lot of my life, and always kind of heard that flag was a sport, but never really took it seriously. A lot of my friends would have been pulling me to play it for years, and I was like, no. But yeah, it's until I kind of played it, I didn't really realize like how competitive and how, like, I don't know, there's something very interesting about the sport that made me kind of like really gravitate towards it.
Yeah, so I want to look into that kind of your background and how you got to playing flag. Am I correct in saying that you had played American football kind of professionally? Was it in different countries?
Yeah, I started playing in the States. I was just lucky my mom got a job, so I got a bit of a taste for it there. And then when I came back to Ireland, I discovered that we had American football in Ireland. And then, like you're saying, there's also chances and opportunities to play like professionally in leagues in Europe, like mainly, you know, Germany, Finland, countries like that. They're the two that I played for, but there's a lot of like teams out there that I just didn't even know about at all, and that's kind of the avenue I went down after my college ended.
And so what age were you when you moved to America and you took up playing American football? Had you been a fan previously?
I would say I had a little bit, more so for the video games, more than like actually watching it. But I was 15 when I went over. And so me and my kind of group of friends at school in Ireland had been somewhat interested in it. They would have been a bit more dedicated to watching it than I would have. But 15 went over and I played a little bit of rugby too, so I wasn't afraid, like a contact sport. But like, if you're in America, you know, I'm obviously going to take the chance to play that sport. It's pretty cool. So that's kind of what got me into it anyway.
Yeah.
More on a whim than anything.
Yeah, because it is interesting when you think of sports that are played in specific countries. I mean, obviously, America, this is their main sport, whereas in Ireland, it would be more, right, I know you played, is it rugby and hurling growing up a little bit?
Yeah.
Did that kind of help the skills you learned playing these games transition over to American football?
Most definitely. I'd be quoting John Hanbury, actually. He's an American football player. He used to play for hurling for Galway as well. But he was always big on saying that Irish people, we play so many sports that require hand-eye coordination from such young age, whether it be like rugby or any sort of GAA. And that really lends itself to American football really well. Like it's a really good sport for if you have any sort of athletic trait. It can be molded into a position because there's so many various positions for you, and just having the hand-eye coordination from like playing other games, really, like you're able to catch a ball, you're able to run, and all those kind of skills are very easily adapted to American football.
Because we're seeing kind of a lot of that. I mean, it's Tadhg Leader is probably the main kind of guy you think of when you think of transitioning over in these kind of from one sport to the other. Is that something that you were aware of when you moved over? Is it only something that's happened maybe in more recent years that you can see more people who've grown up playing Gaelic games being willing to try American football, whether it be in America or here at home?
Yeah. So I suppose Tadhg Leaders is more the kicking avenue. And that, like, I can't believe no one had that idea before him. Like, fair play to him. He's doing great things, like sending lads over to college. Like he's a factory at this point, but that's from a kicking perspective, which is like something that's very unique, I think, to maybe
Gaelic football
as well. That they're good strikers of the ball off the ground. I definitely think just with the amount of talent we have in like rugby and all the other various sports, that we definitely could apply it a bit more to having more positional, like other positions that get sent across. You see in England, they have some. With their NFL academy, they have some players getting sent over to like Division One college now, and I think Belfast Trojans are a team that have had some success sending a guy to Boise State. So I definitely think there's lots of opportunities for people. We haven't really seen it yet, but I think with how big American football is becoming in general, it's like very popular culture now. I think you will start to see more athletes making the jump to going to play in America soon anyway.
Yeah, and I suppose when you think of that, you think of these athletes who are going to make it on a professional level, but returning back to flag football, there's a huge amateur element as well. Like, it seems to be very popular at all kind of levels. When did it kind of, for you at least, become something that you could play in Ireland? I don't want to say recreationally, but when did it kind of arrive in Ireland, if you get me?
Yeah, so to be fair, I'm, like I said, I'm kind of new into sport, so I'd be wrong to not say that it's been around for the last like 10 years. And there's been a lot of people who've been putting in a lot of work in Ireland to like, you know, make the ground or work like the, get a base for it, the sport in the country.
Yeah, kind of grassroots building.
Exactly,
it up.
Yeah. But definitely in the last like 3 years since I've been very aware and actually playing the sport, you've seen like tremendous growth of like the primary schools are playing it now. I think the NFL sent out like a beginner's kit to nearly every secondary school in Ireland.
Yes.
There's been the Clada Bowl, which is like the women's league, has also developed in the last couple of years. And all those kind of pieces. And the domestic league, which is mixed, has been continuing on for the 5 years, but it's just grown in terms of the teams have been added to it. I think a lot of teams realize how easy it is to set up a grassroots club. Like, it only takes, you know, it's 5v5, so you only need 5 to 10 people to be on your team, and then you can be in the league. And it's fairly kind of easy to kind of get people into, and it's a fun sport, so it's pretty easy.
Yeah, and I want to ask kind of about what you were saying there about the structure in Ireland right now, because you mentioned, you know, there's a men's league, a women's league, and a mixed league. Like, that seems like it's, or maybe a mixed teams.
Yeah, so there is no men's league. It's just the mixed league, and then there's a women's league, or a women's only league, I suppose.
And
so that'd be the two.
Do you find that's beneficial for getting people involved? Because I suppose when you're kind of trying to build up sports, the most important thing is trying to get people out and playing.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, kind of what you're saying, like even at the women's league games, they generally just have like a rec league that goes along with it. That's essentially just pick up flag. And the whole idea is just try to get more people to play the sport, try to introduce it to more people. Because generally when people see what it is, play it, they have a bit of fun, they stick around. And it is just about kind of getting, spreading awareness that like this sport exists, it's out there, it's easy to join, like find a club that you can go to that's remotely near and then you can play it.
Yeah.
So definitely it is a good structure at the moment in terms of just getting people a bit more into the sport, and if there was more teams, more leagues, it would grow as well. You see how like ideally I look at like tag rugby and how they have like the, you know, at arms, like after work leagues and recreational leagues, and then you have maybe a club that's like a bit more intense or whatever. I'd love to see it go to that model, but obviously that just takes a lot of time and effort from various people. But
of course, but I mean, Ireland has been enjoying incredible success lately in flag football. I mean, am I correct in saying that the Dunboyne Wildcats won the Flagging New Year this year?
Yes, yeah, we won Flagging New Year. A group of us actually went out and won King Bowl as well. But Flagging New Year was significant enough because it was the first time an Irish team had ever won an international flagging tournament.
And it was in Scotland, was it?
That was in Scotland. It's in Glasgow in January every year. Yeah. So that would be my local team. Even though I live in Ennistymon, I play for Dunboyne. So good group of lads. We went out and we won that then this year. So,
and was that something that you were expecting coming into the tournament? Was it a surprise? You just kind of hit a really good run of form.
Well, we're a very confident group, so I'd definitely say like it wasn't like a surprise that we did it. We had a few tournaments last year. Whether it would be with Dunboyne or with kind of a various other, like the Celtic Tigers, another kind of team. It's always kind of the same group of guys that go out to these tournaments, and generally the Irish national team as well. And so we got unlucky in a few tournaments, came second, came third. We were a bit unlucky last year, so to get over the line this year was good, but not, I wouldn't say it was unexpected.
Because it's something maybe that's been building for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Like I was saying, like we went to nearly like, I think it was 10 tournaments last year. So we've been to a good few, and we also had a good run of form at the Euros in 2025 as well. So we're definitely like, we were on the cusp a few times. And this year we just had a bit more results than just potential, which is nice, a nice change.
And would that be common that you kind of head to 10 tournaments a year? Is that at all where you're travelling to different tournaments and playing around Europe?
I wouldn't say it's common for 10. That was a lot. Mainly it was because the Euros were on that year, so we were kind of ramping up, trying to get as much experience as we can. And unlike, there's not a huge playing pool in Ireland, so for us to really get the competition level that we'll be getting at like international level tournaments, you have to play abroad a bit. But definitely we would go to a good few tournaments abroad every year, just for the experience and also kind of to get that level of competition that you can't really get in Ireland.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. And what sort of supports do you have from kind of the American Football Ireland? Because I imagine, I mean, it's not like this is a full-time gig.
Yeah. Very little, I suppose. Yeah. We get some, which is great, and we're very glad to have it. But definitely compared to the other national teams, we would be lacking in that area. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of our own fundraising ourselves. We try to do as much as we can just to cover the costs and, you know, take the load off the athletes that are traveling, especially if it's for the Irish national team. But comparatively to other countries that have like maybe Olympic funding or they're in their team's national program, it's hard not to look and be a bit jealous of what they have and stuff.
But then do you feel that sometimes the Irish team are punching above their weight slightly?
Oh, massively. I mean, if you look like this year at Copenhagen, like albeit we drew at the last Copenhagen would be a very competitive tournament in Europe, and in order for us to proceed to the knockout stages, we had to win or draw our last group game, which happened to be against Italy. So their national team would be European champs from 2025. Okay. And we actually managed to get a draw, which is a huge result for us. But if you look at that, like comparatively, like their players get a lot of funding, they get a lot of help. Some of them get supports just to play flag. And to have a result against them, it just kind of shows the potential of the group. So, yeah.
And when was the first time that you played for Ireland in flag?
In flag, I think 2024, the World Championships in Finland. was the first time. It's actually one of the first times I'd played flag.
Oh, really?
At all, yeah. Because, like I said, I came from very much so like American football, like the kidded side of things. So, yeah, last year was my first kind of taste. And I loved it. Like, it was an unreal experience. But I definitely had really regretted not playing way before then, as soon as I started playing.
And would that be similar for a lot of the people you play with and against, that they came from American football backgrounds?
Yeah, I think typically that would be the case. But I think now you're starting to see people who just come in and just play flag.
Okay.
And I really like that. Like, I look forward to when those kids who are playing in primary schools in Ireland start to play a bit more in second school and then go to their local club, because they're going to be so much better than anyone. Because, like I was saying, like the nuances of the sport, like American football is very similar to flag, the same skill set, you know. But there is some nuances that, unless you're really used to the sport, you can't really kind of do or play to its max potential, if you know what I mean. It might be kind of hard to explain, but like, definitely I think people who just play flag all the time, there's something to be said for how good they can be. And
yeah, I mean, if anyone goes on your Instagram, you can see videos of kind of plays on your page. And I think there was a video recently and it was like, what's the most important position? Yeah. Can you maybe kind of explain to people like what your different roles would be on a flag team? Because I think people are so used to watching perhaps American football where it's bigger and people have very defined roles. Everyone knows what a quarterback does, kind of thing.
Yeah.
What's the differences or the similarities for a flag team?
So I suppose if you know American football, we do have a quarterback. The other five position, or the other four positions on your offense. So you have one as a quarterback, then you have four receivers, and one of them will be your center. So the one of them just snaps the ball. It's the only difference between a center and the other receivers. So they're just there to catch the ball, essentially. There's no line or no people blocking for a quarterback. So the defender, defense, have five players. They've generally got four defensive backs who are essentially like they're covering the receiver, trying to not let them catch the ball, or if they do catch the ball, they're trying to flag. And then there's one rusher or blitzer, and that's someone who's essentially lining up 7 yards from where the ball is going to be snapped, and they run straight at your quarterback. Mm-hmm. So the sport is super fast. If you can imagine how quick it takes for someone just to run 7 yards plus whatever distance the QB goes back, that's all the time that the quarterback has. There's no pass protection, none of that. So decisions are a lot quicker. And other than that, they're kind of the same positions. But if you know anything about like American football, like all the schemes and play calls, all that changes because there's no offensive line, there's no defensive line. The defense has far less players, and it's played in a slightly smaller field, which helps because it means you can't just run outside. But it's definitely super fast, and it can be quite difficult to stop an offense in that kind of environment.
So it must make it an exciting game to play while also, because it's no contact, is it? Theoretically,
yeah. I suppose it's very similar to like a basketball's no contact, like especially at the higher levels, there's a lot of like, you know, push and shove and elbows go flying. But it is, for the most part, should be no contact. But yeah, it's rapid fast. It's one of the things I think anyone who's played American football would say to you about flag is that it's so much faster. Things happen so much quicker. Mm. Everything that was 3 steps, now it's 1 step. It's all
okay.
Happening a lot quicker. And that also lends itself to just wanting a slightly different type of athlete. Like, they're really wiry, athletic, twitchy types.
As opposed to the big, bulky types that perhaps you see in rugby or something.
Exactly, yeah. You can't use your strength and size as much as you can in flag. But, I mean, there's still a place for it, so...
Yeah.
But yeah,
and I suppose as well the no contact element could be encouraging for parents who have kids, say, in primary schools in Ireland who have got these kits, you know, that they can go and play this game without being worried about. I mean, we hear so much about head injuries in the likes of rugby or even American football.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think kids, especially, you know, American football is a sport that I played since I was 15. But like, looking back, it's a bit mad that you just let people like run full speed into each other. Flag is definitely a great alternative. Also, like in countries like Germany, they do a lot of their youth programs for their American football teams through flag at the beginning, which it teaches all the same skills, makes people a little bit more involved. It's faster, so it keeps people's attention a lot more. And then if they like the sport, you can transition later when you're a bit bigger, a bit more physically able to play American football. But also, it's a bit more inclusive that way. You know, for example, there's no Women's American Football League in Ireland. Yeah. But for flag, there is. And it might not necessarily be anything to do with physical. It might just be that it's easier to make teams because it's a slightly smaller requirement. You don't need 50 people to have your team. You just need, you know, you're 5 or 10. So you're allowed to, or you're able to have a lot more people playing the sport, which I think is great because it's kind of essentially what you want for any sport is for everyone to see it and enjoy it if they want.
Definitely. And I was interested to hear that this had been listed as a discretionary event for LA 2028, the next Olympic Games, because this means that it's an event that the organisers, so in America, have said, you know, this is a sport that's from our country. We want to be playing it at this Olympic Games. Have you any idea right now what the qualification process will look like for LA 28?
Yeah. So we do. Obviously, America being the home nation are qualified. After that, I think the top two placed at the Worlds, there's a World Championship happening this year in Dusseldorf. Mm-hmm. So the top two will get qualified. And then the remaining spots then will go to teams that, it's kind of confusing. So the 2027 Continentals, the top performing teams at that tournament that aren't already qualified will go into a 10-team qualification tournament in 2027 as well.
Hey.
So there's a lot going on in 2027, but that's kind of the path to qualification.
And where do you think Ireland will fit within that? What do you think is the most likely path for the Irish national team to qualify?
I mean, for us, it's fairly simple. We have to go and perform really well in 2027 in the Euros, and then kick on. If all things go well there, you go on to that qualification tournament and you win and get your spot from that. It's obviously like, it sounds like it's very hard to do, but if you've played flag at all, like it's anything can happen on any given day. Like it's really hard to be consistently a winner. So like, it's just about showing up, catching a bit of form on the right weekend and you can kind of go from there.
Does the kind of speed of the game help in that kind of, you can pull off maybe some unpredictable results? It can be a bit, is chaotic the right or wrong word to use there?
I don't know if it chaotic. I thought about this a good bit actually. I think one element of flag that I really like is that when one team scores, the other team gets the ball guaranteed.
Okay.
So you always have, it's always fair that there's always like a chance that, you know, if you score every time you get the ball, you're probably going to put yourself in a great position to go win.
Mm.
And then it's just about like kind of dealing with the pressure, making sure you execute like you want to and stuff like that. So I do think because of the way the rules are set up, and like you're saying, like the speed of the game itself, like anything can happen, like one mistake can cost you so much, that it does lend itself for like upset and for maybe that. Weaker teams were like, you know, other teams to shine. I don't know.
Well, no, but you're right, because I think when we think of Ireland at any Olympic Games, whether it be the summer or the winter ones, we always do seem to be punching above our weight as a country with quite a small population, comparatively speaking. We look at the rowers and our gymnasts who've done very well recently, boxing, of course. I mean, the rugby sevens team have been involved in so many tournaments recently before that program was sadly cancelled. So this could be something maybe that people will be looking towards in the next 2 years. What are your preparations looking like for that Dusseldorf tournament next year? And do you think that as the build-up to LA 28 happens, more people are going to perhaps start playing flag here and start getting involved?
Well, I would love to see that. I think in terms of our preparation, we are very much so gunning for that Euros already. Like we'd have a big enough panel now, nearly two teams, like a performance squad and a development squad. We're training like as much as we possibly can. It's hard because we're so spread out. So like, you know, some lads are in the north, some lads are in the south, but we definitely get together at least like once a month, and then that's in person, and then also have our online meetings, and plus we're all always together in some way in terms of our clubs. But definitely the coaching staff and management are doing their absolute best to try to get in as much talent as we can. Like the beacons are lit, like our socials are always asking, crying out for any athlete that wants to be involved. And I suppose this is kind of like why I'd be here today as well, is just to like kind of promote the sport and show it's there, it's an opportunity. If you're interested, like just reach out. We'll definitely find a way to get you, you know, some sort of opportunity to see, show what you can do and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely.
I mean, because it does seem when you look on kind of your Instagram and the amount of stuff that you guys get up to. I mean, it's for a sport that is relatively small still, there is such a following for it across Europe as well. Yeah. It's a very popular sport for it, despite its being niche.
Yeah, it is. It's mad. Like, for example, like France is a country that like I never would have expected to love it. They have like loads of teams. Like, they just seem to really love the sport. But I think, yeah, like in Ireland, definitely the sport is growing. In Europe, it's a bit more established. And I think one of the best experiences any person can have playing flag, and this might be a bit of a stretch, but is going to one of these weekend tournaments in any country. And not even playing, but just the environment of it. Like, it's almost like a festival. Everyone's there. They all really love like the same sport. There's so many people from different countries. And I just think that that's a great, great feeling and a great event to be part of. And definitely was one of the main things that hooked me in, for sure.
When did you guys find out that it had been selected as a competition for LA 20? Had this been kind of already established when you started playing flag?
I think it was just after I had joined. It was just before, or just when the Worlds in 2024 happened.
Okay.
The main reason I had actually joined flag was because I saw that Ireland had hosted the European Championships in UL in, I think that was 2023. And kind of like what I was just saying, like I you know, there were streams, it was very professional, but it just looked like such a great time. Like, you know, there were so many different countries, so many people involved, such a great buzz around the tournament. So that really kind of drew me into it. And then I reached out to try, you know, find out more information. And then as I did that, the announcement that it was going to be an Olympic sport was announced. So that also helped.
So, well, I'm sure. And I mean, obviously it's still, there's a long journey ahead, hopefully a successful one to try and make qualification for LA 28. I mean, we talked to so many athletes and they're Irish athletes and they're all saying that, you know, there's still a long way to go. But what would it mean to bring Irish flag football to LA?
I mean, that would actually be insane. I think the amount of effort that would, if we did it, it would be very rewarding for a lot of people who put in tremendous amounts of effort, like for the last 10 years, say. Yeah. I'm just a new person in the door in this sport. There's been a lot of people who've laid the foundations for years, and I think they would really enjoy seeing that. And like, to be fair, I'd be stoked to go to the Olympics. That'd be so sick.
Well, we're going to be paying attention for the next little while, the European Championships coming up, and then we'll see what happens with this qualification journey. But it seems like to be a sport that it's growing fast. So yep. Finn, thank you very much for joining us today. This is a brilliant conversation. And Word on the Street on Off the Ball is brought to you by Braeburn. From refreshing iced mochas to smooth iced oat lattes, whatever the weather, Braeburn Coffee has you covered, made for your summer. Thank you very much, and we'll chat next week.
Word on the Street on Off the Ball
with Braeburn. Whatever the weather, Braeburn Coffee has you covered.
Made for your summer.
Hello, hello, and welcome along to Word on the Street.
Yeah, Classica.
There we go.
Yeah, way better.
I will preface this by saying I was in the throes of a fever.
Well, I think it's like the death of football. Funeral bell.
This is probably the worst recency bias of all time.
I say Boxing Day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is there a problem? Absolutely. Is it shite? Absolutely. Will you watch it? Absolutely.
Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball, and before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back, and for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47, have a car wash for €2.47, or grab a packet of Tato crisps for just 24 cents. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Apple Green store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.